Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer, Winthrop Capital Management. With me in the studio, which is really our conference room, is Amy Anderson. Good morning, Amy, Production Coordinator. And Adam Kunz. Adam, Head of Trading.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well.
Wow. We got a bit to cover today. We got a little bit of update on what's going on in the economy. Big, big week for earnings. We got the Academy Awards to cover. And then we talked about, in the teaser, we talked about some supply chain disruptions. So let me kick it off really quick, because I know we've got a lot to cover here. But our base case for the economy has not changed. We expect the vaccines will be effective at controlling the spread of the coronavirus. We describe it as we're at the intersection of the rollout of the vaccines and the decline in the spread of the virus. And from all evidence, the vaccines are proving to be effective. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine got approved to go back online over the weekend. But the base case, again, is as the pandemic subsides, the economy will reopen and the COVID-affected industries like hotels, travel, leisure, conventions, and entertainment will all start to open up. This will put pressure on a labor pool as demands for labor all at once, I think, start to put pressure, and that'll ultimately put pressure on wages. I will admit we are surprised and a little disappointed that the concert schedule for this summer is being postponed. And that includes my tickets to the Goo Goo Dolls, to Billy Joel and Mercy Me. So I don't know if you guys have gotten in concert tickets, but that's probably hopeful on my part. But what's happening is the recovery, we expect the recovery, one of the reasons we think this recovery is going to be really powerful is it will benefit from pent-up savings that happened during the pandemic shutdown. And people simply, there's two things that are happening. They're not spending as much because they're not going out to restaurants or entertainment. And also the stimulus, evidence shows that a large part of the stimulus that was provided, the fiscal stimulus, was actually put into savings. That'll ultimately come out into the economy over time. So I think it was Moody's Analytics estimates right now that household savings globally is $5.4 trillion at the end of the first quarter due to the pandemic. So it's a pretty significant number. Now, we're also navigating the Biden tax plan, which has weighed on the market. And so we're kind of, with what we know about it, we're working through that. But the tax plan contemplates an increase in tax brackets for wealthy individuals and corporations, as well as an increase in the capital gains tax. Whenever this happens, equity markets short-term dislocate. Mm-hmm. The fear is always around, will it be applied retroactive? If there's any change in the tax code, we expect that there will be tax code. We expect that it won't be applied retroactively. It's only happened, I think twice, and the most recent one was Clinton in the early 90s. And that was litigated, but we don't know, right? So with that, why don't I just stop here, Adam?
Yes, sir.
We got a lot of earnings this week.
A lot of earnings. I mean, we're right in the thick of it. So last week, a few highlights. First is that so far, companies have beaten both on earnings and sales by 83%. Mm-hmm. So showing strong numbers pretty much across the board. We had IBM release a strong quarter. They're contemplating a spinoff of some of their stale business units.
We call those legacy.
Yeah, that's the more proper term. But, you know, that's really just, this is the IBM story, right? They have one good quarter and then they go right back into, you know, declines. But
the longest turnaround in corporate history.
Right. What is it, 12 years now? AT&T, similar story. Subscriber growth was strong, which will feed into another company, Netflix, that had the opposite. But operating revenue was at $9.9 billion. That's up 12%. Free cash flow was strong. So some strong earnings out of some of the big bellwether names. Netflix did release disappointing earnings, and that was really driven by subscriber growth. It was just you know, well below estimates. And, you know, the question is this because there's so many more options, or is it because, as we're talking about, the economy is opening and more people are, you know, doing something else? It seems like it's maybe a combination of both. You saw strong numbers out of Disney. Mm-hmm. So that tells us more that this is probably the fact that you're starting to see this fragmented market kind of hit Netflix, where there's just other options. And if Netflix doesn't have a really strong show, you're probably going to see subscriber growth decline.
But they did get 7 Academy Awards.
Well, is that your tie-in to the Academy Awards? We'll come back to that. The other piece that I was really watching last week, and probably more important to the economy and what's happening, are the airlines. So last week, you know, we pretty much got all of them. And, you know, it was really dependent on the airlines, on you know, whether there was, you know, better than expected or worse than expected based off of really where they travel and how they do it. Delta, Alaska, and Southwest were all better than expected. They are seeing their capacity get back to about 90% of what it was a year ago. But conversely, United and American were, you know, disappointing, and they're still running at only about 70%, and see that happening through the rest of this year. And that's just domestic travel. That's not taking into consideration the fact that none of these airlines are really flying much overseas. But the one that really stood out to me was Alaskan. I mean, they actually moved to free cash flow positive this last quarter. So this is one of those airlines that's a little bit smaller, but in some ways being a smaller airline, kind of being in some niche markets has helped, which has also helped Southwest. So we are seeing, regardless, a pickup in air travel, both business and residential.
So the New York Times has an article this morning, Adam, that the EU could allow U.S. travelers into the country beginning this summer. So big pop in the airline stocks this morning, I think in anticipation of that. But a significant part of the economies of Southern Europe, those Southern European countries of Spain and Italy, is supported by tourism.
Yep.
So this is huge. It's a big part of sustainable growth, because Europe is just is lagging the global recovery. They're still in recession. ECB last week extended their bond purchase program, which is just, I mean, it's, I think, 1.85 trillion euro. And I think it's problematic. And then they kept their short-term rate at minus 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a socialist form of government, where spending is a safety net for the population, keeping interest rates that low for a prolonged period of time is going to be problematic. Because of the spend, the deficits that these countries are running are pretty significant. So there's more narrative, interestingly enough, and we don't have enough time on this podcast to cover it, but there's narrative around, does it matter? Does 3%, which was the Maastricht Treaty when the European Union was formed, does 3% budget deficit really matter? Is there really a number that matters? Because they're running 5, 6, 7% now.
And nothing's breaking.
Well, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. But Europe's going to be interesting to watch. But go ahead, back to you.
Just this week on the earnings front, it's really heavy tech. So we're going to see the big names: Facebook, Apple, Google this week. So the expectation is that we'll continue to see growth as people are spending. People are still in this hybrid mode of still doing more social media type activities, but are dabbling in other things. But we think tech is still going to be strong.
So we got Tesla today, and Musk, he tweeted that he's going to host Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So I don't know that has any financial newsworthiness associated with it, but Tesla earnings today. And then we've got Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, the whole alphabet.
Yeah.
The whole alphabet of tech stocks comes out this week. So I think expectations are still pretty positive in that
absolutely,
space.
Yeah.
The challenge is around valuation.
Yep.
And these valuations are just the growth rates that these valuations assume are just not sustainable. Current rates. So anyway, so we're facing some supply chain issues. This part of the earnings cycle doesn't really address what's going on with supply chains. But one of the things that's happening in the economy is that home prices have skyrocketed. Across the country, home prices are up and new home sales are dropping. So there isn't, I think last month they were down 3.7%. But there's a number of factors that are kind of converging on this, and it's the demographics where people are moving out of the urban downtown areas, a shortage of new homes that are for sale, and the rapid increase in lumber prices that we're seeing around the country. That's all combined to push housing prices up. And so we're in Indianapolis, Indiana. Indianapolis is known it's a pretty stable housing market. Mm-hmm. And so for housing to move up 10 to 15% in a year is a big move.
Yeah.
So, you normally see that type of thing on the coast, and it's happening all over. So it's going to be interesting to see how this ends. But lumber's up. In some areas, it's up over 400%.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't know if you've been to Home Depot lately.
To buy a piece of wood.
But it speaks to the supply chain issues that we're talking about. So one of the issues we're facing is the semiconductor shortage. And so Ford's announced that they're going to potentially shut down another production line. So they got the F-150. It's impacting GM. But downstream, basically anything that has a circuit board in it is going to be impacted. So we're seeing it firsthand when we're ordering laptops and PCs.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting. But I think it has the potential to impact earnings in companies like Honeywell and Johnson Controls that use circuit boards with whatever they're doing. It's depending on the type of circuitry. I think that's where the risks to earnings are going to be this quarter. Then the question is, does the market really care? So the way this market is shaped right now, we could see supply chain issues and the company's ability to discount it. I think the auto companies have said this could last well into next year.
Yeah, that's kind of the forecast at this point. Because the problem with the type of chip that is causing all these issues is a really basic chip. It's a really cheap, it's like a $5 part for display. But if you have anything that has a display, you'd need this type of chip. And so the problem is these factories that produce chips, they've moved more towards producing the higher end chips.
Yeah.
So retooling so that you can do this takes a very, very long time.
How much of this has to do with the China trade issues?
Well, I mean, that plays into it, but you know, most of these chips are really coming out of South Korea and Taiwan.
Right.
The bigger issue is that you had such a high demand for display type things, right? So laptops, computers, all these things
when everybody chips. Went working remote.
Right. So you had this massive amount of demand. And at the same time, you had factories that had to shut down because of the coronavirus. And so once again, everything just kind of hit all at the same time. In a perfect storm, and it's just going to take a long time to correct.
And at the same time, chip companies have done really well, except for Intel.
Right.
The granddaddy of all chip companies, and it's not set up.
Nope.
So the kind of the ironic thing in all of this, right?
Yeah.
Anything else on your plate this week?
Just on the bond market side, a really quiet week last week. Bond yields fell 2 basis points, but, you know, so pretty much I'd call that unchanged. Corporate bonds tightened again last week. It just seems like every week they just tighten just a touch. And that's really just attributed to the fact that we've got low volatility kind of across all markets, whether it's equity markets. You know, the VIX is now below 17. So, I mean, it's just going to continue to lead towards tightening of corporate bonds unless we see something break in the credit markets.
Yeah. So did you watch the Academy Awards?
I did not.
Nomadland, which I didn't watch. So I'm kind of like, I didn't recognize a lot of the movies, I'm going to confess. But John Baptiste, who won for Best Musical Score for Soul, and we are big John Baptiste fans. So that was pretty cool. All right. With that, you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you through the week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.